Ephesians chapter 6. We continue this study on the whole armor of God here in Ephesians 6. And we now come to this fourth piece of armor here. In verse... Let's go ahead and read. I never grow tired of reading this. Let's begin with verse 10 and read down to the text in verse 16. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or wicked one. Paul says, above all, this shield of faith. Take this shield of faith. As it is implied here, and as it says in other places, the life of a believer is a warfare, a battle. Paul said that in another place to young Timothy, no man that warreth. It's a battle. The life of a believer is a constant struggle against foes from within and without. Scripture says that it's a battle which requires us to be constantly watching. Watch. The Scripture talks about it. It's another word for being on your guard, right? Let's not sleep as do others. You'll be killed. But watch. Watch. A believer is constantly assaulted on every hand. As I said, within and without. And one of the assaults that we have to endure, as much or more than anything, is the assault against what we believe. Just for merely believing the truth, you will be assaulted. And Christ said, you'll be hated. You'll be hated by all men. For my name's sake. So we, the believer, is constantly having to defend earnestly, in the words of the Apostle Paul again, defending earnestly the faith once delivered to the saints. And as I say it now, more than ever, this is that evil day, I believe, that Paul talks about there in 2 Timothy 3. There's no doubt in my mind that these are those perilous times that he refers to, the last days immediately preceding our Lord's return. And now more than ever is the faith, one Lord, one faith, now more than ever is the faith under attack. Brother Henry in jest said in a study that he would like to tie people, hog tie was the words he used, hog tie people and make them have to sit and listen to the message this morning. Hog tie, that's what you say when you come to Henry County or Franklin or wherever. But you know, the fact that they would sit there and gnash their teeth, they wouldn't receive it, except like you said, God revealed it to them. God made them willing. And the faith is under attack now as never before. Never before. Now, our souls are want. The captain of our salvation has fought all the battles for our salvations. Right, John? He said it's finished. I mean, our captain, who went out before us to meet the giant, Satan, the giant of God's law, the giant of our sin, by himself, purged. He won. He cut the giant's head off, didn't he? He bruised his head, cut his head off. He defeated our foes. The battle's won. And then, John, the battle, the victorious cry from the cross was, it's finished. It's over. I love that song. Many of you love that song that Brother Mike Bartram up in Ashland sings. It is finished. The battle is over. And Jesus is Lord. He finished that. That battle is over. We're bought with a price by our captain, the price being his life's blood. But there will be constant little skirmishes, little struggles. You've come out of the camp now, Jeanette. You've come out of the camp to go to him. You've left the enemy's service. You who were one time children of wrath, even as others. You left that camp by God's grace, by God's power. You left. He wooed you, brought you out, saved you, brought you to himself. You went to him by faith. Satan doesn't give up that easily. Huh? Now he's going to assault you on every hand. Mostly to get you to desert. Be a deserter. That Hebrews 12:1 says it though, doesn't it, John? He's the author and the finisher. 12:1-2. Looking unto him. He's the author and the finisher. He's going to, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. I'm confident, Jeanette, that he that began a good work in you, he'll finish it. Will you keep on keeping on? You will if you're kept by the power of God. So we are going to be under attack. That's a fact. That's what it says here. And we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty. To the pulling down of strongholds. And this is what we're talking about. These weapons, Terry, these weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ, are these things right here. This armor. It's important, isn't it? It's important. He said, because having done all, taking this armor, you're going to stand. You're going to stand, not fall. Who is it that overcometh the world? Is that what you want? When it's all said and done, you want to be an overcomer? What is it that overcomes the world? He said in 1 John, your faith. Who is he that overcometh? The he that believeth Jesus is the Christ. But there will be constant struggles and skirmishes, and that's why it is important here. And he says, above all, to take this one piece of armor, the shield of faith. This one, all right, piece of armor. All right, now, what is faith? We need to examine that, don't we? What is faith? There's much said about faith. Spoke a little bit about it this morning. Our brother read Hebrews 11, the whole chapter speaks of faith, and it concludes there, doesn't it, in Hebrews 12. What is faith? I'm not trying to impress you when I use this term, but faith is objective, not subjective. Something is subjective. I'll give you a little English lesson. Something is subjective, that means you subject yourself to close scrutiny, or you look within, you look to yourself to find answers, or look at yourself is what you do. Subjective. Objective, you look outside of yourself. You look to something or someone else. Objective. Faith is objective. Faith has an object. Faith's object is not doctrine, not a creed. It's a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is He is faith. He is true faith. That's what we're going to talk about from here on out. When we talk about this shield, we're going to talk about Him, who is our shield. We read that in Psalm 3, didn't we? Verse 3. Lord, Thou art my shield. He is my faith. The faith of Christ. That what it says there in Romans 3? The faith of Christ. Faith is objective. It's in a person. Faith is belief, trust, and we do act. Faith does work. Faith does move. Faith does repent. Faith does call. Faith does this and that and the other. But it's connected. It's like the hand that takes the water that meets the thirst. That's not the hand. The hand did not do it. The hand didn't. The water met my thirst, right? They say, well, the hand had something to do with it. No, the mind led the hand to do it. Right? It is God that makes us willing to take by faith to lay hold on Christ. Right? Christ is the one that meets your thirst. He's the water. Hand's just a tool. Faith is a tool. It's a gift of God. He gives it to you, says use it. We're going to look at that a little more in a moment. But faith is belief, trust, dependence upon a person. One person. Because there's one faith, isn't there? One Lord. One person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing, trusting. How many times do we say this? You know, we're going to have to learn it. Aren't we? We know it by rote. Like Paul parrots. Everybody in here can say this. Faith is believing, trusting, depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. We need to learn it, don't we? We need to actually do that. Faith without works is dead. Be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Doesn't do you any good, does it? So faith is actually depending, believing, trusting Jesus Christ for everything. You're all and in all. As your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, your redemption. All of these things. Your God, your Lord, your judge, your jury, your lawyer, your Savior, your sacrifice, your substitute, your lamb, your sin offering, your high priest, your great high priest, your mediator, your intercessor, your daysman, your advocate. On and on it goes, doesn't it? Faith is to trust Him, look to Him, believe Him truly. That's being all and in all those things to you. Your life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Colossians 3 said. Faith does not look to self, subjective. Faith looks to Christ, objective. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the one that gave you the faith, and the finisher, the one that will make sure you are faithful to the end. Christ is the faith. Listen. You remember that verse I quoted a moment ago? That we have to defend against those who are always after us, defending the faith once delivered to the saints. I didn't write it down. I don't know where that is. Christ is the faith once delivered to the saints. He was delivered for our justification, wasn't it? He is the faith. He is the object of our faith, delivered to the saints. Christ is the gospel. Christ is the faith. So, belief, trust, dependence upon Jesus Christ is to have a shield to protect you. Have a shield. Look over at Proverbs 30, verse 5. Look over Proverbs 30. In Genesis, when Abraham got down and depressed because Lot got the good land and he was stuck up in the mountains, Rocky Mount, everywhere he plowed there were rocks and red dirt. And Lot got to live in Kentucky, you know, the soil is black. No, just kidding, Stan. Nevertheless, Lot seemed to got the better part of the deal, didn't he? No, he didn't either. No, Lot just about perished in that happy hunting ground. And Abraham was all depressed and sad about it, maybe moaning, complaining a little bit, and God came to him and said, Abraham, I am thy shield. Now, why did he say that first? And then he went on to say, Barbara, and your exceeding great reward. Lot got what he wanted. Abraham, you get what you need. And I believe what you want. Get me. But the first thing he said was, I'm your shield. Lot was defenseless, wasn't he? Lot was without protection. Lot had no hiding place. Lot was out there in the open, out there in the midst of Sodom. It looked just like the Sodomites after a while. He was without God, without hope, seemingly. We found out later on, though, that the Lord was his shield. But it didn't appear that way. But Abraham, in the cleft, he was in the cleft of the rock, hidden with God. David said it, too. David said, Thou, Lord, art a shield for me. Look here, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. He's a shield. So faith in Christ is compared to a shield. Now turn over to Psalm 5, and I think you'll see where the Apostle Paul got this from. I believe he got... The Apostle Paul was a scholar of the Old Testament. Brother Charles, Apostle Paul could quote more, knew the law more than any of the Pharisees. He knew the Scriptures. He quoted Scripture after Scripture, didn't he? Old Testament Scripture. He was constantly referring to the Scripture. That's a mark of a good preacher, isn't it? He was constantly referring to the Scripture. Old Testament Scriptures. He knew them well. And if you read carefully his writings, you'll see the analogies he made, the allegories and so forth, he got them from Scriptures. They weren't original. They came from the Scriptures. Even the Lord Himself quoted Scripture, didn't He? But they were original. He's the one who wrote them, old and new. But you don't want some original fellow. You want some fellow just to quote Scripture to you. And I believe that's where the Apostle Paul got this allegory here in Ephesians 6 of the shield of faith. Look at Psalm 5, verse 12. Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, the word shield, the Greek word shield in the New Testament, means
large as a door. That's what it means.
In other words, it's referring to a shield. Stand back and you've seen the old night movies, haven't you? And you'd see how that back in the olden days, these fellas that had the big spears and the swords, not the archers, but the infantrymen down on the front lines that were the swords, the arrows were being shot at them. Remember that? You remember them? They had these big shields that they'd get behind and just slowly go at the gates, go at the enemy and so forth. These shields were as big as a door. As big as a door. It covered the entire man, in other words. The whole man could hide behind the shield. See what I'm getting at? Huh? Or who I'm getting at? Psalm 119, verse 114 says, Thou art my hiding place and my shield. See, faith protects us, number one, about faith compared to a shield. I'll give you 4 or 5 points. And that's it. Faith protects us against attack. And that's talking about Christ. Christ, our shield, protects us. He covers the entire man. Faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, protects the whole man. We've been talking about the head. Well, we will talk about the head, the helmet of salvation. We've talked about the girdle. We talk about the breastplate. talk about the feet and so forth. With faith, he says above all that, over top of all of that. And I have to believe that's what he was saying in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord, behind the Lord, in the Lord, in faith in the Lord, above all those things. All those things are contained in and found in this thing called faith in Christ. Right? The girdle of truth is nothing but faith in Christ. The breastplate of righteousness is nothing but faith in Christ. The being shod with the gospel is nothing but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith in Christ protects our head. This big shield, you get behind it, and it protects your head. Your head from all false notions. If you get a right notion of Christ, you won't fall for all these false notions that are going on today, will you? Huh? If, John, you believe the doctrine of Christ, do we need to elaborate what Christ means? We say Christ, and that's the doctrine, isn't it? He's Christ. God's chosen, God's anointed, God's elect, my Christ, my Savior, my Messiah, my Redeemer, my Rescuer, my Savior. Christ, that's what his name means. If you've got the doctrine, if you abide in the doctrine of Christ, there's no false notions going to pop into your head. That'll protect you. That's your protection. Your heart. What about the love of the world and the affection of the world and temptations of the world and so forth? Well, faith in Christ, a love for Christ, will extinguish. I wish I knew, could quote that Latin saying. But it says something to this effect. One love will cancel out another. One love will cancel out another. And if we truly fall in love with Christ by God's grace, we won't be head over heels in love with this head over heels, head over heart in love with this world, right? Oh, no. Oh, no. Christ, we'll esteem Christ like Moses did, Rick, there in Hebrews 11, greater than all the treasures of Egypt, right? Get a new truck, fine, that's good. You know, like it, drive it, enjoy it, but just a truck. Huh? Well, Christ is everything, don't we? He's all, that truck's lovely, but my, my. He's altogether lovely. And on you could use that, couldn't you? So, true faith in Christ will protect the heart, the head, the heart, the feet. What about the feet? And Satan aims his arrows at your feet that you might slip up. He wants you to stumble and fall, then, huh? Fall into sin, trip you up your way. Well, not if you're walking by faith in Christ. Your foot will not slide in due time. Because he said, you're going to stand on a rock. The world is on the shifting sand of a God who tries and can't and so forth. You know, Arminian religion, that's shifting sands, you know. There's nothing solid or grounded to be settled on there, is there? God might, he loves you, but he might not save you. And this and that. And boy, that's shaky ground, isn't it? Huh? Oh boy, standing firm on Christ, you won't be moved. Come hell or high water, no matter, you won't be moved. Flood, rains and floods and winds or whatever, and be planted. Secondly, faith protects against attack. Faith protects the whole armor. Faith protects, so Christ is the whole armor. Christ is the essence of all this thing. He says, above all. Above all. We talked about truth, didn't we? Have your loins girded about with truth. What is truth? It's a person. We talked about righteousness, didn't we? Having the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? He's made unto us righteousness. He is our righteousness. In the Lord have our righteousness. Well, we talked about the gospel, didn't we? Being shod with the gospel of peace. Well, what is the gospel? What is the good news? Christ is the gospel. He is the... So doctrine is not salvation, but a person. Person's salvation. Faith is not salvation, but a person. Person. And faith is like a shield because faith, listen to this, When those fellas stood behind those big shields and waded into all those arrows that were flying, what was it that took all the blows? Huh? Now, if those hit with one, they were gone. Right? Well, I'm talking like I was born and raised. If those was hit, if they were struck by one arrow, forgive me, everybody here knew what I was talking about. Maybe not Nancy, she hadn't been here long enough. Yes, she had. But what was it that took all the blows? What are you laughing at? That's where you talk. What was it that took all the blows? The shield. The scripture says that Christ was wounded for our transgression. Scripture says he was smitten and afflicted. Scripture says by his stripes we are healed. Scripture says the chastisement that was supposed to be for us was laid on him. Right? Christ was smitten for us by the enemy. He was the one that was assaulted. He bears all the blows. He's our shield, isn't he? He's our shield. We couldn't take one of them. We really couldn't. We couldn't take one. But you know, we are assaulted, though. We are assaulted. But there, you know, consider him. That's what it said there in that Hebrews 12. Consider him. You haven't yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. No, you're not tied to the stake yet. Have they tied your feet to the stake yet, Henry? Oh, no. Nobody's held a gun to your head yet and said, don't believe that or else. No, yet. Well, we are assaulted, though. And how are these assaults repelled? Same thing. Faith in Christ. By faith in Christ. You see, these assaults will take the form of sin. We can't bear our sin. We can't bear the thought of them. We'll have to lay our sins on the head of the scapegoat. The trials we go through, Violet, how did you get through that? The drugs, the doctors, all those things? Huh? Christ, your shield. All the trials we have to go through, Christ has to be the one we hide behind. Yeah, he's a crutch for the believer. He sure is. I don't mind saying that. Temptations will come at us, and we're no match for them. No match. Just a little spark will kindle a great fire, won't it, John? Huh? No match. We need something to hide behind. Someone. So only by looking to Christ can we ward these things off. Only Christ can give you strength. He said, I'm your shield and I'm your strength. We have no strength. Without me, you can do nothing. Got to hide behind him about everything. And another thing, faith is like a shield, and that faith needs to be real strong. But faith needs to be real strong. You know, the Lord said to Thomas, he said, don't be weak in faith. Believe him. Remember that? Be not weak, but believe him. The scripture says that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We're talking about believing Christ. Now, let me ask you. How strong is your faith? Ella? You were hoping I wouldn't call. How strong is your faith? Roberta? How strong is your faith? Why are y'all shaking your head? Every one of you did the same thing. Well, and if I asked you, how strong is your faith? You might say, well, I just don't seem to be able to believe like I ought to. I just don't seem to be able to. I'm just so weak, and I didn't ask you how strong you were. What did I say faith was? What is your faith? Is it how strong you believe? All right, let me ask you again. Polly?
How strong is your Christ? Helen? And every one of y'all be it.
I'll be one.
Roberta?
How strong is your Christ? You see, faith's not subjective, is it? He said, if you had that much, who would it? Terry, you just want to quote it about it. It's a grain of a mustard seed. What is faith, Terry? Well, grit your teeth and believe. It seemed like you could do that. It's a person. It's a resigning. It's so tough. It's so simple, it's tough. It's so simple, it's tough. It's hard. It's difficult. It's hard to just rest because we're so self-righteous. We're so self-dependent. We're so self-this. Right? Believe Christ. Didn't he say, Jeanette, to Mary and Martha, didn't I tell you if you would believe that you'd see the glory of God? Now, we've seen it without believing, haven't we? All our lives, we've experienced and seen the glory of God when we didn't have faith in the grain of a mustard seed, but he revealed it to us anyway. Then. He said, if you'd believe, whew, you'd see mountains moved. If you've just resigned yourself to who I am, what I've done, where I am, nothing will move you. Nothing. Nothing. Certainly not the price of gas. Oh, my. You know, I make fun. I say these things. But it's downright comical, isn't it? We're so unbelieving. We're so unbelieving. We're so weak. How strong is your Christ? If he's all powerful, then there's nothing to worry about. Faith is only as strong as its object, right? Was it Brother Milton Howard that gave that illustration of sitting in a chair? I think it was. At any rate, he said, well, that right there. Now, I just don't have a bit of problem in sitting there. I'm not going to, well, who knows? It might not. I'm not sure. If anybody checked it out, I don't have a bit of problem. I don't even think about it. When I come up on this platform, sit down. That's the perfect illustration of faith in Christ, isn't it? Christ is the object of our faith. He said, I'll hold you up. You'll not be moved. Well, I just, did I will he or will he not? Is his word true? He promised? No matter what you go, no matter what comes, I sent it. And like I said, tell me this tomorrow morning. But it's true, nonetheless, whether we believe it. Didn't he say to Timothy, he said, if we believe not, yet he abided faithful. He can't deny himself. I love that passage of Scripture, don't you, John? If we believe not, well, it's of no consequence except to give us a whole lot of heartache for a while and make us wring our hands needlessly and walk the floor when we could have been sleeping. Like that fellow said from talking about Psalm 121, he never slumbers or sleeps. The fellow was walking the floor one night worried about something, maybe the price of gas, entering on the service station. And he was walking the floor, and he said, and he got the Bible scriptures out and read that Psalm 21. Says that he shall neither slumber nor sleep. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He said, wait a minute. If God's keeping me, and he never sleeps,
why don't I just go to sleep? He's watching. He's got it. It's his. He's under, got it. He's got me. And he said, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to go to sleep. They seem like very simple illustrations, and they are. They ought to be, because that's what faith is. It's trust in a person. It's trust in a person. I really don't believe my daughter loses sleep at night, because why? She feels safe. Why? Daddy's with her. Right? Daddy's in the house. He said, I'll never leave you. Daddy's going to leave. Right? Daddy will leave. Some of you ladies have lost your daddies. You haven't lost your Heavenly Father. He said, I'll never leave you. Don't forsake you. Huh? Huh? Some of you ladies have lost your husband. Huh? Scripture says your Maker is your husband. Your Maker is your husband. Ah, boy. If we knew Him as we've been known, we knew Him as we've been known. Someday we will. And if we did, if we would chastise ourselves, we would do it for being so. Why were you so what were you worried about? Right? Well, won't we? If we thought that way, we would. Does that make sense? If we thought like that, we won't. But if we did, we'd think, why was I worried? Why was I worried? A shield needs to be strong. A shield needs to be made of metal. But what if those fellas went out there with cardboard shields? They wouldn't last long, would they? Huh? Any and every blow would penetrate that. Faith needs to be made of a suitable material. And it's not wood, hay, or stubble, but gold, silver, precious stone. Think Paul just pulled those out of the air anywhere, John? Oh, gold is Christ's deity. Silver is His redemption. Precious stones is His character. That's where our faith needs to be. That's the person of Christ, isn't it? You know, they like to talk about a different test being testing the metal of the man. Were you a Marine, Henry? Is anybody in here a Marine, John? Were you a Marine? You weren't a real man, anyway. Well, that's what the Marines looking for, a few good men, you know, made of metal. No, they're not. They're made of flesh. They die just like Army men, don't they? Just like Air Force. But they talk about being made of metal. You want to test my metal? I'm flesh. My Lord's not. He's spirit. Right? My captain is made of iron. He's my shield. Also, a shield must be forged in a furnace. Metal, wood's not. Cardboard's not. Hay's not. Stubble's not. Metal is, though. Iron is forged in a furnace. God's the blacksmith. May I use these simple illustrations? God is the blacksmith. The law is His hammer. Justice is the fiery furnace. Christ is that perfect shield that came out. That perfect shield hammered out by God. Molded, made, shaped in the fashion of a man, yet without sin. Perfect man, perfect God, perfect shield, perfect righteousness. The shield's got to be without sin, too. If there was any sin, those shields were forged. They were forged. Shield's got to be without sin. That's a picture of Christ being without flaw, without spot, without blemish, without any imperfections, but perfect. Nothing can penetrate. Christ is my perfect robe. Christ is my perfect Savior. Christ is perfect God. And lastly, let me bring this out. A couple more things here. Lastly, faith is like a shield in that it has to be handled. Right here now it says, verse 16, look at it. It says, above all, taking the shield. Taking the shield of faith. Now these other things we notice how that these other things says, verse like 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt. It seems like that's something that's done to you. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, that's something that's applied to you. Christ's blood is righteousness. Feet shod with the preparation. Shod, you know, a horse gets shod. That's somebody else does it to him. Right here it says, you take the shield of faith. And I know I quoted, John quoted out loud this morning that faith is the gift of God. And by his gift, though, we receive it, though. We do. We take it. We receive it. Faith, like a shield, must be handled. We need to lay our hands on the head of the scapegoat. That's all faith does, is just lay his hands on the head of the scapegoat. Lays hold on Christ. Lays hold on the horns of the altar. Christ is the altar. He's the horn of our strength. It lays on hold on him. We don't lay a tool on it now. But we lay hold on Christ. We grab hold of Christ by faith. We, as old Brother Maurice said, hug up to him. And here's some ways that we handle faith, okay? Listen to me carefully. This is good. This will help you out. I need this. Some ways we handle faith or use faith is, number one, we lay hold on the promises of God. The promises of God. That's what this whole book is. Just full of promises. Promises. Like my pastor said, we're compassed about on one side with promises, lest we despair, but warnings, lest we presume. But it's full of promises. This whole book is one big promise book to God's people. Of peace, of pardon, of salvation, of protection, of being heirs and inheritance and so forth, right? Acceptance with God. We lay hold by faith, though, on the promises of God and use them for our protection, okay? Satan will say things like this to you. Now, it says the fiery darts, doesn't it? Doesn't it say that in verse 16? To quench the fiery darts of the wicked, here's some of those darts he's going to hurl at you. He'll say, you're going to fail someday. Have you ever thought that way, Deborah? Have you? Sure you have. Everybody in here has thought like this. I'm going to be the only one to leave. I'm going to be the only apostate one in here. Everybody else is going to make it but me. Let me ask you, why? Why is everybody going to make it but you? Because they're better than you? But if anybody in here makes it, it's going to be because of Christ. Right? Isn't that right? Well, Satan says, you're going to fail someday. Well, here's the thing. The answering with, take the shield of faith, Deborah, and say, he never faileth. Yeah, I fail every day. Answering with that. That's the way you answer these charges. He never fails. Yeah, I fail all the time. And will. He never failed. Well, you say, well, you'll quit. You'll quit. You'll quit someday. But answer him like this. What God has begun, he never quits. He finishes. Huh? Take the shield. He'll say, well, yeah, but you're weak. You're mighty weak. You're no match. Oh, you say that's true. Everything you've said about me is true, but his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Well, he'll say, but yeah, but you're a great sinner. You're a great sinner. You're one of the worst I've seen. I've been around a long time. You're one of the worst. You're full of hypocrisy. You're a great sinner. Great sinner. Answer him with this promise. He's able to save to the uttermost. The guttermost. The chief of sinners. Yeah, but I'll have you someday, he says. I'll have you. You'll be mine. You'll be mine. I'll get you. Answer him with this promise. My Lord said he gave unto me eternal life and I'd never perish. Mm-hmm. The Lord rebuked thee, Satan. Use the promises as a shield. Use them. Here's another way to handle them. To handle the shield, to handle the promises. Also by experience. And let's see if this does not hold truth. We handle the shield by experience. If you've ever used a gun, any of you fellas have a good gun that you've, Charles Hudson were here, he's a big rick. Some of you are gun men. If you've ever used a good gun, you got used to it, and you know it fires well, and you're confident with it, and you've used it, and it hits the mark, and so forth, it's a good gun. You know by experience, by using that gun, don't you, that it's power and its efficacy, don't you? Huh? Well, and maybe that's a bad illustration, but have you been delivered, how often have you been delivered by Christ over the years? How many times, John? How old are you? You're about 59? Close enough. Over 50. Might as well be 59, 60. Right, Henry? Don't go like that. And you'll be 70. But how often has Christ delivered you over these 55 years, John? Just how often, buddy? Oh, more than you can number, right? You ought to know by experience by now, shouldn't you? You ought to be well experienced in the faith. See what I'm saying? How often have you been delivered? We ought to say like David, why art thou weary? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I'll yet praise him again. John, we get down, we get sinful, we get to feeling bad, feeling like he's going to leave us. And that's happened before. And the murmur. We've got just about as down. You've got down as far as you could possibly go at times. You think, I can't, I'm lower, as Donnie would say, in a snake's belly. You've never been any more sinful than you have at times, right? You think, I'm never going to come out of this pit now that I'm in. I'm lost. I'm a goner. Here you are. Huh? Hide behind the promises of shield. I didn't write it down. But what's that verse of Scripture says? I've seen the righteous shall fall seven times. Yet it shall be well with the righteous. They're going to get up every time. Going to get up. Why? The Lord's going to reach down and pick them up. Why art thou cast down? Oh my. I'll yet hope in the Lord. He's my strength and my shield. His mercy. You think, well, his mercy, David got that way, didn't he? Is his mercy clean gone? Well, Stan later on, he wrote, well, his mercy endures forever. It must, because he has used a lot on me. There must be a lot of it there because he's used a lot of it on this one fella. Right? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Yet, in the face of your sins, hope in the Lord. There's mercy with him. There's forgiveness. There's yet forgiveness with him. Oh, I like that. Whew. I like that. I like that. And in the necessity of faith, above all, he said that in our text, he said, above all. Now, if I sent you down to the store, say I sent Earlene. I said, Earlene, now I want you to go down to the store. I want you to get milk. I want you to get eggs. I want you to get bacon, but above all. You know what I'm going to say, don't you, Sherry? Get the chocolate Breyers ice cream. That's what I'd say. Get Breyers chocolate, not vanilla. But if I said above all, now you can forget the eggs, you can forget the bacon, but don't you come back without that Breyers. Huh? You're going to remember this now that I said that, aren't you? He says, above all, take the shield of faith. This covers it all. This covers it all. Above all, faith. That you may, why? Because the darts are headed this way. Little poison, they're different darts. You remember those, I used to like to watch those old cowboy and Indian movies and different, you know, Robin Hood and all that and read about them when I was a boy. And they'd use different kinds of arrows back there. When they use archery, that kind of warfare, John, they'd use different kinds of arrows. All kinds of arrows they'd use. They'd use little sharp, pointy, barbed arrows with poison on the end of them. And they might little hit you. They'd shoot or spit them, you know. And they might hit you, and you might know you've been, except a little sting, you know. And you drop over dead later on.
Well, that's the subtle innuendos and little things that Satan can use to create within you malice and hatred and envy and lust and so forth. Little barbs, right? Poisonous arrows. And then he'll let fly at you. Remember they used to set one and put something flammable around it and want to burn the whole house down immediately. Then there's an all-out assault upon you, meant to burn your house down. Huh? Well, faith in Christ is said to quench those fiery darts. Quench them. The most fiery assaults. The most fiery assaults. Faith in Christ. I love to read the stories of the martyrs. I love to, yet I don't. I have mixed emotions. You know what I mean? It makes me feel like a dog after I get through reading them. Like such a worthless person. I am. That's what I am. But reading of their, you know, like that fella said to Spurgeon one time, I'm just afraid I don't have dying faith. And he said, are you dying? Well, not yet, not that I know of. He said, well, you don't need it yet, then, do you? Maybe if I came to the stake, I'd be just as resolute. But what I was getting ready to say was, and Jeanette and some of you have read those stories of those martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs, it seemed like some of them went to the stake and never felt pain. I'm talking about having their flesh burnt alive. One fellow, John, this is a true story, he was a pastor of a church. And he'd been preaching what I'm preaching, faith in Christ. And all of his parishioners were watching him go to be burned at the stake. True story. I wish I could remember his name. And as he was walking bound to that stake to be bound, all of his people, congregation, were lined up weeping and wailing. He stopped. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Reminds me of my Lord, doesn't it? Stopping. Don't weep a minute. But he stopped and said, if I so much as wince in those flames, don't believe a word I've preached to you all these years. Can you imagine? And the story has it that he didn't wince. It's hung on that stake, singing praises to God, looking heavenward. And I'm not bragging on that man. I'm just telling you. Terry, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't wince. Why? Yeah. Somebody in there with them. Somebody was in there with them. They came out, didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Oh, Christ said, you must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe Christ? Do you really? How strong is your shield? How strong is Christ? We better start believing, Edmund. We need to. We need to. We sure do. And this is for those who feel like they don't have a shield, don't have Christ. You know, a young believer is prone, is most likely to be assaulted. Most likely to be assaulted and prone to let down that shield, and for lack of a better way to put it, let down that shield. A young man, a young woman, a young believer, whoever comes to Christ at first, and the devil, Spurgeon used this illustration. He said it's like that young man that was coming to Christ, and the devil took him and tore him and threw him on the ground. And that's what he does to a young believer. Just takes him and makes them feel more rotten than they've ever felt in their life, more hopeless. Well, faith, the Scripture says, is the victory that overcometh the world. He that believeth Jesus is the Christ. Let me look that up for you. It's in 1 John 3, I'm pretty sure. 1 John 5, isn't it? 1 John 5. Look at it with me. Turn over there. 1 John 5 says this. 1 John 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth
Jesus is the Son of God. Son of God. What does that mean? All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. All the forces of nature, everything is in His hand. Fire, you're going to be burned at the stake. He's the one. You can't start a fire unless He says so. Everything is under His control. Who is he that overcometh? But he that believes this. Jesus is the Son of God, Son of the Most High, in charge of everything. But you may say, well, I've been trying to have faith and I can't. Can't? Can't believe Christ? Why not? Why not? And like I said, we're all going to need this at times. We need this said to us. Why not? Well, I just don't, I what? It's He. Faith in Christ. It's not feelings. I just don't feel. It's not feelings. It's faith in a person. We need to be like those lepers. We say, well, and this is what we have the most trouble with, is our sin. Our sin. We get so down and feeling so sinful, we actually commit sins and act rotten and no good and worthless. And that's self-righteousness is what that is. When you say, when you think, some of you know what I'm talking about. All that is a legal spirit and a self-righteousness thinking that, well, you've got to get so good in order to come to Him. No. No. Just as I am. In my hands, no price I bring. Come to Him as you are. What if blind Bartimaeus said, well, I need to go home and clean up first. Huh? No. As you are. Sinful as you are. And our sins get us so down at times, though, we think, I've got to be lost. I've got to be. I can't. No true child of God could do or say or feel or be like me. Can't do it. He's not going to have me. Christ's not going to have me. Oh, that's the time when you need to just cast your whole soul on Him and be like those lepers. You remember those lepers that back in the Old Testament? I didn't write it down where it is. That said this, those lepers, they were going to die. They were lepers, and they were dying, and they knew it, John, they knew it. And they said, well, let us fall into the hands of the Syrians. Let's just fall into their hands. Remember, the Syrians had taken the city, and these lepers were in Jews, I think, and they said, where are we going to go? We're going to go out here? We can't. We go in there, they're Syrians. Let's just fall into their hands. If they kill us, we're going to die. We're going to die anyway. Let's just fall in and see what happens. And then there's a story. I did write this down. In 1 Kings 20, where it's a fellow named Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad, an enemy of King Ahab. He was an enemy. He was a conquered king. He said this. He said this to all of his fellows, and this is what I'm saying to you, bunch of sinners. You say, I'm Ben-Hadad, and you are my fellows. We're enemies by nature of God and deserve to be hung by God. Sinners that we are, from here, from Ben-Hadad on down. And here's what he said, though. Ben-Hadad. When he heard that they were vanquished and that they were they had no help, no hope, and that the king of Israel was on the throne and he was getting rid of all of his enemies around the place, going to smite all his enemies and set up his throne. Listen to this. Listen to this. 1 Kings 20, verse 31 and 32 says this. Ben-Hadad said this, well, I have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. They're merciful kings. They're not like the kings of this world. They're actually merciful. We've heard that the kings of Israel are actually merciful kings. Let's do this. Let's put ropes around our heads.
Let's put ropes around our heads, all of us, and go to the King of Israel. Peradventure, he'll save our life. You like that? I did. Okay, Charles, you old rotten, wretched sinner, you. How many years are you going to keep on sinning, buddy? It's not funny, really, is it? It's sad. Let's put a rope around our head, child. And I've heard that the King of Israel is a merciful king. And he keeps having mercy on old Ben Hadad's. Let's just put a rope around our head. We're going to perish if we don't. Right? And go to him peradventure. It's not an adventure. It's a certainty. Go with a rope around your neck and you won't be hung. Huh? You won't be hung. You'll be saved. He's mercy. Ever mercy. Okay, stand with me. May the Lord use these feeble words. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would use your word. Your word is all powerful. Our comments on it are so feeble. But your word is so quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. If you would just take your word, that hammer, that two-edged sword, and pierce our hearts with it, our minds, that you would sear it in our minds, our hearts, plant it like the incorruptible seed down within us, make it bring forth fruit, the fruit of faith, we would, Lord, we would believe. Lord, we do believe by your grace, by your gift. Help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. Why are we so unbelieving, so faithless? Hope in God. Hope in Christ. Believe Christ. We'll see the salvation of the Lord. See his glory. Every one of us need this. I need this. We're all going to need it, especially need it in special times. So may we bring it back up like a cow chewing his cud. And chew on these things. Let them not flee away. But be planted. In Christ's name, we met together this day and ask your blessing upon your word. Amen. You're dismissed.